Elijah was on the run. He had just challenged Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal to a duel on Mount Carmel. But God proved himself to be the true God when he consumed the sacrifice on the altar, including the wood, the stones, and even the what surrounding the altar? The water. Absolutely amazing. But then, after that great victory, after that monumental display of God's power, Elijah fled because the wicked queen Jezebel vowed that within 24 hours she was going to have his life. So Elijah took off, and he raced from Samaria to the southern kingdom of Judah, all the way down to Beersheba, to the edge of the wilderness, at a place known as the Valley of Salt. At that point, Elijah didn't feel like much of a hero of faith. In fact, he was stressed out, exhausted, and depressed. Finding a solitary shrub, a broom tree, he lay down in the blistering heat of the desert. "Enough, Lord," he said. "That's it. I've had enough. Take away my life. I'm no better than my ancestors, no as good as those who led your people in the past. Just let me what? Die. Just let me die. I'm so depressed, I'm so exhausted, I'm so stressed out, I'm so hopeless. I've got nothing in me left to give you. I don't care about all the things you did in the past. I don't trust you for anything more. I think that life is too much for me now. Just let me die because I don't want to face it. I can't take it anymore." You know, Elijah may not have cared about himself at that point. Do you know what I love? God did. God did. In fact, he commissioned an angel to startle Elijah out of his sleep. You know, every time I read that story, you know, I've got to think, wow, I'm not sure it would be a good angel who wakes me up. I love sleep. I need sleep so bad. If you're waking me up, you're a bad angel. But in this case, the one exception in history, I guess, it was a good angel who awoke Elijah out of his sleep. The angel touched him and commanded him to get up and eat. And there was, mysteriously, he's out there in the wilderness by the brook Jabbok, and there's Jabbok, and there's nothing out there, and he's starving to death. He's emotionally rot. He's basically about to have a nervous breakdown, and all of a sudden, mysteriously, a loaf of bread and jar of water appear. And as you know, God nursed him back to health by feeding and caring for him. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God? Here's his servant, stressed out, exhausted, depressed, discouraged, feeling so bad he wants to die. No food, no supplies, no provisions. And yet God himself comes to nurse him, tenderly nurse him back to life. You know, I believe that many could relate to Elijah and what they're going through right now. They've won many battles in the past, had lots of faith for all kinds of crises, but feel as though the way things are for them right now, it just can't possibly get better. It just can't. And for many, that's especially true today when it comes to the area of finances. Well, you look at how many foreclosures, you look at how many people are losing their jobs, you look at one state has a 17% unemployment rate. Did you know Hawaii's actually one of the better ones? Better? Well, we're running at 6-7% unemployment right now compared to some states. That's not bad, though it is bad for some. For some, they've prayed many prayers in the past and had them answered. But now they're saying, "I know that God was with me then, but this one seems to be too much to ask God help for. After all, I've lost my job, my benefits. Some have lost their home. Some marriages have split up. The wife has said, you're a loser. I'm not staying with you anymore. Remember I said 80% of all divorces in some way have to do with finances. Isn't that staggering? 80%. We also talked about good Christian homes. They may not be divorcing, but finances is such a major issue in the home that they wonder, how can I pay tithe and still be still take care of our needs? How can I send our kids to college and give to the church building program or to give offerings? Finances are a major stress, even in good Christian homes. So what do we do when things are like that? You know what? Sometimes we have problems. How many of you have ever encountered an unsolvable problem? Well, at least you felt it was unsolvable. How many of you feel, I've had a problem that feels unsolvable? I have. I've had lots of them. This is one of them right here. It's just unsolvable. My wife would probably say it's what's in here that's unsolvable, but it's another story. Yeah, unsolvable problems could be health, could be relationship-oriented, could be job-oriented, financially-oriented. But for a lot of us, and the series we're dealing with now, I'm focusing more in on the financially-oriented parts, but you could apply it to any part of your life you'd like. We have problems that seem too big even for God to handle. And have you ever done this? I'm going to make a confession. Sometimes I have said, God, I think I've used up my quota of miracles. You have answered so many prayers in the past. You've come through for me even when I didn't ask you. You've been so good to me that you couldn't possibly have another miracle in store now after all you've done. Have any of you ever felt that way too? Uh-oh. That's just me, I guess. All right. Well, I have. I felt like after all you've done, Lord, you couldn't possibly have one more trick in your bag there. But he does. You know what I love about God? I come to him saying, God, I'm wringing my hands. I'm going, it's impossible. And a lot of times I'm praying for you, and I'm going, God, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? So-and-so's sick. So-and-so's going to lose their house. So-and-so's family's falling apart. Someone's finances are just so bad, it's impossible. What are you going to do? God, you know what I love? I may get stressed out, but you know what I love about God? He never gets stressed out. You know what? When an angel flies to God's throne, and I don't know, maybe the angels get a little stressed out like me, I don't know. But maybe they fly to God's throne and say, Father, Father, I've got to tell you, we've been watching Mr. Kawamura's life. He's in trouble right now. He's got some bills, some mortgages, some second, third notes out on his house. He's losing his job. His kids are in college. They're going to have to drop out. God, what are you going to do? And does God say, oh, no, Gabriel, no, I'm not sure what to do. How could you do this to me, Gabriel? I parted the Red Sea. I gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness. I made the sun stand still. But Gabriel, you have finally given me a problem that I don't have a clue as to what to do with. Is that how God responds? Does God ever say, oh no, I finally encountered something that I don't know how to handle? Does God ever do that? Then why should we? Why should we? We're his children. He's our Father. He knows that we have needs of these things. He is with us. So the infinitely loving and all-powerful God of the universe says, Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, not a thing. So God will never be stressed out by your problems. He'll never be overwhelmed. God will never say to any of you, oh no, I don't know what to do. I can't help you. No, God will find a way to help you. You see, I believe there are Elijahs all over the world. Maybe even some Elijah-ettes. We have some Elijah-ettes. We've got men and women all over the world fleeing, doing anything they can to escape the dread, the fear that life has problems that are too big, not just for them, but for even God to handle. But what did God do with Elijah? Elijah felt like dying spiritually, emotionally, and physically. He had the triple whammy. He was down on all counts, not just physically, but on all counts. And he thought that life was over, but listen, how strong in faith was Elijah when he was collapsed out there in the wilderness under the broom tree? Not much faith at all. Man, I'm so exhausted, I'm so stressed out, I want to die, I'm so scared, Jezebel is after me. Have you ever had a Jezebel after you? Some problem that was just claiming, promising to do you in. Could be a boss at work. I've got your number, and as soon as I can, you're out of here. Some teacher at school. I'm not going to let you pass. And if you don't pass, you know, there goes graduation. Someone, you're never going to get the money you need for college. Some spouse at home. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to continue making life miserable for you. I don't care. We've all had our Jezebels. Something that chases us where we are stressed out, exhausted, and we don't think there's any way for God to come through. But what did God do? God provided for Elijah, even though he was faithless and had absolutely nothing to offer God at the time. Isn't that beautiful? We think, maybe God will help me because I have some faith and I'm praying. Elijah didn't even have that. Elijah said, you know what? I'm so done with God and life and everything that I'm just going to sit here and die. He was faithless. He was done in. He was closing down, closing shop, and yet God still came through for him. Please turn with me to Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25. Last Sabbath, we began a new series called Sparrow Faith. And we're looking at the great news that we don't need to be ruled by worry and fear about having our basic needs met because of out of his unending love and kindness, our Heavenly Father provides for us. By the way, what does it mean to be ruled by something? When you're ruled by something, they tell you what to do and when to do it, right? All right, I'm your ruler. You do this. Many people are ruled by worry and fear. That dictates their life. Well, I don't know how to handle my home situation, my finances, my health, my job, my this. It's just worry and fear rule their life. They dictate how they're going to get up and out of bed that morning or not get out of bed that morning. It's worry and fear. Jesus says, with sparrow faith, you don't need to be ruled like that any longer. You have a new master, someone who's out to provide for you and care for you and take care of you. Listen to what Jesus says as we introduce sparrow faith a little bit more from Matthew 6:25. Jesus says here, therefore I say to you, worry all you can about your life because I can't help you. Is that what he says? Do not worry about your life. This is God speaking. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. I'd include your health, all these things, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Isn't that beautiful? If you were to read this verse every day, I'm telling you, it would do wonders for you. It would do wonders, and it would begin to affect not just your financial perspective, but all kinds of perspective in all kinds of different areas of life. Jesus gives us a picture here of how God provides for us. And he says, look, guys, imagine he's on the hillside and he's telling all these people under the thumb of Roman rule, you know, talk about a depressed economy. They were literally slaves to the Romans. They were, in a sense, POWs, right? And he says, wait a minute, don't worry. Don't worry about things. Think about the birds. They don't sow or reap. They don't worry or fret themselves about it. They don't even gather and store into barns for a hard winter. And yet Jesus says their heavenly Father feeds them. By the way, if you'd like to take out your study guide, that's our first fill-in today. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, Jesus saying that the birds, we'll call them sparrows. Is that okay? Can they be sparrows? They aren't taken care of based, oh, this is so important. Jesus says sparrows aren't taken care of based on how well they sow, on how good and faithful they are, but on the basis of God's love and care for them. You know, I love that. Is God going to take care of me? Well, maybe I'm not good enough. Well, God's not taking care of you based upon how good you are. He's taking care of you like he does the sparrows just because he's their loving creator. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that beautiful? That's the way God is. Sparrow faith says that God's provision doesn't come to us because of what we have done, but because of God's faithfulness. I love a God like that. I love him for that. Now think about this. How does salvation come to us? Do we earn it? How many say we earn salvation? How many say we don't earn it? Right? It's a gift of God's grace, and we receive it by faith. And we call that the big R word. What's the big R word? Righteousness by what? By faith. All right? We don't do anything for that. We can only receive and accept that gift by faith. I'm going to introduce a new term to you. I coined it. I don't know if it'll ever make it into Webster's, but here it is. Have you ever heard of provision by faith? This is the way I look at it. We have righteous by faith, and we have provision by faith. What's that mean? It works the same way as salvation. God takes care of all of our earthly needs as a gift of his grace, and we trust it for him by faith, just like we do for our righteousness by faith. Does that make sense? Provision by faith. It's a gift. It's all a gift, just like salvation, and we trust him for it by faith. Now, I suppose you're thinking, well, that's great. That's not too hard to understand, and I could agree with that. But what I want to point out today is that there are some major implications for seeing God this way. Big implications for this, a whole bunch. And though it won't take long, we're going to go through some of them today. First of all, when it comes to being saved, many don't have assurance because they're not sure whether or not they've been what? Good enough to be accepted, right? I don't know if I'm saved. Are you saved? I don't know. I hope so. Why aren't you sure? Well, I'm not sure I've been good enough, right? Now, what's our greatest need in life, salvation or finances? Ultimately, what's our greatest need? Salvation. But listen, if we can't believe God for our greatest need, our need of salvation, then we'll find it hard to trust him for the smaller things like our finances. You see how righteous by faith permeates everything? It permeates everything. If you can't trust God for your greatest need, how are you going to trust him for everything else? If he can't take care of the big things, how is he going to take care of the little things? But we receive it all as a gift by grace. Of his grace, we receive it by faith. Here's something related to that. Is it possible to judge how we're doing with God based on how well our finances are going? Is it possible for some people to do that? Some do. There are people who believe that if God pays all their bills and they've got a good job and their house, they've got a nice place to live, then somehow that's a sign that they're on God's good side. They're on good terms with God. On the other hand, some believe that if they lose their job and even their home, then maybe that means that they're not right with God. Do you buy that kind of thinking? No, not at all. What's the problem with that kind of thinking? You could be wrong about your true spiritual condition. Was Job close to God even though he lost everything? Job was very close to God, right? He was a friend of God. Job was very close. On the other hand, you could be in great financial shape and not be close to God. So don't base your view of your acceptance with God on how well your finances are doing. You see how dangerous that is? God must not love me. I must be a bad person because I don't have a job or I'm about to lose my home. You see how faulty that can be, can get us into bad trouble. Now I want to add something else to the mix. If I do believe that God meets my needs because I'm a pretty good person, then I'm basically saying that I earned everything I have because God kind of owed it to me, right? If I believe that the reason God blesses me is because I'm a good person, then God kind of owes me these things. Does that make sense? God, you kind of owe it to me. I've been good. I'll be tempted to believe that I've earned everything I have. But what happens if things go financially south on me? What will happen? I'll shake my fist at God and I'll say, God, I demand that you give me a good job back. I demand that you restore my home. I demand that you get my kids into college. I demand I get a car. Why? Because I earned these things. I deserve them. You owe them to me. Look, I've been so faithful, and now you are forsaking me. You know, let me put it this way. If your employer stopped paying you, would you keep working for him? Anybody? No, not at all. And many Christians say, God, I've lost my job, or I've lost my home, I've lost this, and whatever little money I do have, I'm not going to pay tithe anymore, or I'm not going to serve you anymore because you haven't given me what I have earned. You see, I'm not going to work for you because you owe me wages and you haven't paid. You see, that kind of thinking is so dangerous. It sets us up. What I'm trying to say is, don't trash God because of a false belief that you deserve to be taken care of. I have some words for you, and I hope they're not misunderstood, but you do not deserve to be taken care of, and neither do I. You do not deserve it. God doesn't owe it to you because you have worked so hard or been so good. No, God takes care of you simply because he loves you. And what he gives to you is a gift of grace, your basic needs. Am I making this up? No, we got it out of Matthew 6. Jesus says, don't worry about these things. Don't fret. Look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Later on, he says, look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin or toil. And yet Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like all of these. God says, I'm going to meet your needs just because I love you. Do you know how freeing that is? Do you know how wonderfully assuring that is? Oh, no, God, I don't have to be good enough. You're going to take care of me anyways. Yes, sparrow faith is different. Sparrow faith sees everything we have as a gift, not as something we earn. Do you see the difference? Everything we have is a gift. It comes from God. And since it's a gift, that means that I can't demand anything, and I won't dump God if my finances tank, even if I'm on the street, because God is love, no matter how much or little I have. Is that safe to say? All right, let's take this a little further. If I don't deserve everything I have and it's all a gift, then who's the owner ultimately, me or God? God. If I didn't earn it, who's giving it to me? God is the owner, is giving to me out of his goodness, right? I don't own anything, even my children. Did you know that my children aren't mine? They're God's first. And I give them to God. And God has given them to me. He's entrusted them to me to say, I want you to raise them to know me. so they can be with me forever in my kingdom. But they are not my children. They are God's first. Suppose one of my children gets sick. I say, God, my child, yes. But I say, God, your child. Suppose my child dies. God, I'm grieving over the loss of the child you've given me. I love this child with all my heart. I would die for this child. And yet, that child is God's before they are mine. I don't own that. And that goes for everything we have in life. We don't own it. And if we don't own anything, then guess what? We have no right to withhold what we have from God. If everything comes from God and we didn't earn it in His eyes, then we don't have a right to withhold it from Him. What are we doing then? We're only managing what we have for God and His purposes. You see that? Why does God give us anything at all? One, to take care of our needs, right? Two, to build up His kingdom. That's why God gives us things, to build up His kingdom. And that leads us to another concept. If God is the owner, and we are only managers of what God provides for us. Do you know what a steward is? Is a steward the owner? No. The steward is simply the manager. And so God is the owner of everything, and we are only to manage what He's given us for Him. Now, just one more concept, and we're done. This may be the shortest sermon on record for Pastor John, you lucky people, today. So we'll make it up with a two-hour sermon next week. All right. One more concept. I want us to look at the difference as we continue to set things up for the concept of the understanding of sparrow faith. One more concept. Let's look at the difference between a channel and the source. I'm going to explain what those mean, a channel and the source. Jesus said that our Heavenly Father feeds us. So that makes God the source of our provisions. All right? Are you with me there? I think it's simple enough. Since our Heavenly Father feeds us, God is the source of our provision. You say, yeah, but God, wait a minute. Does our job feed us? Jesus saying your job doesn't feed you. Jesus is not saying your money feeds you. Jesus is not saying your bank account feeds you. Jesus is saying your Heavenly Father is ultimately the one who feeds you. If it weren't for Him, we wouldn't have breath or life. Ellen White says every loaf of bread is stamped with the cross of Christ. If it weren't for God intervening and giving us life, we wouldn't even have a piece of bread to eat. It ultimately is God's. And we've got to look at it that way in real life. It's not just a philosophy. We've got to orient our life that way. Our Heavenly Father feeds us. It's He who feeds us, so He's the source. So what does James say? Every good and perfect gift comes from God, right? Because He's the source of everything we have. Does God give us bodies to work? Yes. Do we work hard? Yes, we work hard. Yes, a workman is worthy of his hire, the Bible says. Things like that. We have a responsibility to use everything, but remember, even our bodies, our life, is a gift from God. All right? But let's go on. What's a channel then? Since God is the source, everything else can only be a channel or what I like to call a pipeline for God to use. Let me explain it. If God is the source, everything else is merely a channel or a pipeline for God to use. For example, the company you work for, is that a source or a channel? It's a channel. God is the source, and God has arranged it to help that company be a pipeline to provide for you as you use the life He's given in His service. So, there can be a zillion channels, but how many sources? One. Good. Because God is the one source. Now, how should we picture God then? We've got bills. We all do. We've got challenges. How do we picture God amidst all of these things? I love this. Here's how I look at it. God is up there at the opening of the channel or the pipeline in heaven. And what does he have? He has a gigantic bucket of good and perfect gifts. So God is in heaven at the opening of the pipeline. Imagine that pipeline goes all the way from heaven, all the way. Remember, our galaxy is 100,000 light years across, and maybe I'm supposing it's somewhere in one of our part of this galaxy. I don't know. But going through the vast thousands of light years distance, God is at smiling ear to ear with that bucket of blessings, and he's dumping them down the pipeline. He's smiling ear to ear, saying, "Dana, I know just what your family needs. Watch out, here it comes." And he's just dumping that bucket down the pipeline. And the pipeline may be your job. It may be an aunt. It may be a friend. It may be the government sometimes. It may be this or that. But God has a zillion pipelines. But he's the source. When God is dumping those things, when those things are arriving at the bottom of the pipeline, and Deanna, you've got your big bucket at the end of that pipeline catching, whoa, here it's coming out here. And here comes food, and here comes money for bills, and here comes insurance, and all these things. Is it your company that created those things? God, they originated in his bucket at the top. All those provisions and good and perfect gifts originated in God's bucket at the top. He's only pouring them down the pipeline. All right. It's exciting stuff. So God funnels these things down the pipeline. Here's the next fill-in for us to use right when we need them and where we need them. God loves having fun with this. Oh, I know just when. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. But I know just when Deanna's going to need this. So God knows when to pour that bucket down. Where and when he's going to do it. Now, I want to give you a great example of how this works in real life. Show you that this is not just a philosophy or a way of looking at things. Remember, we already told you. Does this mean that we don't work? Does this mean we're not faithful in our responsibilities? No, because God has given us a life as a gift to use for his glory. And so he's given us a body with energy and strength to work, or he's given us, you know, but that's all a gift from God. So we have a part to play, but we're only responding to the gift of life he's given us. But he's ultimately, he wants us to look at him as the giver and source of every good and perfect gift. Let me give you an example of this. One time, while Maria was in dental hygiene school in Michigan, and I don't believe she was working at the time, I'm not sure, but things were very financially tight, very financially tight. I used to keep track, ask my wife, every single cent we spent. Okay, this, I recorded it. You got a burrito at Taco Bell. Okay, I'm sorry, I got to put it down. I got to see, can't we make it? I was a hawk, and I'm not Mr. Administrative, believe me, but I didn't want us to get in trouble, so I was looking at that, and I was worried sometimes, so I wasn't living by sparrow faith all the time. But Maria's in school, things are financially tight, and we're faced with a medical issue and $1,000 of medical bills. $1,000. So what are we going to do? We were tempted to freak. Oh, no. What are we going to do? We can't borrow it because then now we're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. What are we going to do? God, we're going to go to you. We're going to go to God. Calmly, we said, God, we know that you have 1,000 ways to provide for us. And you know we just don't have this now. Unfortunately, the situation came up, but we're going to trust you that you will supply this need, this $1,000, in the way you best see fit. If you don't, you have another plan. We'll love you no matter what, but we're asking you for help. You know, God gave us a tremendous peace. I'm telling you, no worries. You know, some way, somehow, sometime, we're going to live, we're going to go on. God's going to take care of us some way. Well, the very next day in the afternoon. We're talking next day. A man knocked on the door. It was the stepfather of one of our church members. He was not a church member at our church, but a stepfather of one of our members. And he said, John Maria, we had met him. John Maria, I've just retired as fire chief of this town. He was the chief of the whole Niles city. That's wonderful. Congratulations. And he goes, well, you guys, God has blessed me, and I got a wonderful retirement bonus. Well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And he says, well, I've been praying. I've been praying that God would help me to use this to build up his kingdom in some way and to be a blessing. Because, John, God has supplied all my needs, but he not only gave me money for my needs, he gave me money to build up his kingdom and to be a blessing. So I prayed, John and Maria, and this is what God told me. God said, I want you to go to four pastors who in some way have been a blessing to your family, and I want you to give them a gift because each one of these pastors has a need in their life right now. And there was a pastor from, who knows, the Baptist church, the missionary church, the this, that. And he says, John, you're one of the pastors. We really appreciate the ministry you've done for our daughter, and we have a check for you. And he wanted us to open it right then. And it was a check for $1,000. Hallelujah. You know, God would have been good no matter what. No matter what. And we say, God, no matter what, we're going to give it. We're going to go on, you know. You know, I believe as God is so good that even if I starved, he'd give me grace to starve, and I'd be praising him while I was starving. You know, God is so good. God is so good. You know what that showed me? God is the source. And that wonderful man was merely a willing pipeline for God to funnel his blessings. You see that? Couldn't be a better illustration of that. God is the source. God had worked on this man's heart, and he was a willing participant. He worked hard for his money. He used the life God gave him as a gift for God's service, and he was blessed for it, got everything, but he was a willing pipeline for God to funnel his blessings through. You see, if you believe your company or your job is the source, how much peace will you have about right now? Well, if you look at the economy right now, not very much for some. Because as we've seen, companies can shut down and the economy can tank. But Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Because your heavenly Father provides for you and he knows you have need of them. We don't need to worry. We can always have peace. Because of this, because God is the infinite source. And if one channel shuts down, he can what? He can open another. He can create a zillion channels, a zillion pipelines if he wants, even sending angels to feed us, if that's what it takes, like he did with Elijah. Our closing song today speaks about our shepherd's ability to take care of us and to supply our needs. And if you'd like to have sparrow faith, if you'd like to say, God, I'm not going to worry and fret because I'm going to do my part with the life you've given me, but I'm going to trust you that in some way, somehow, my basic needs will be met because you're a loving God. And even if I lose my house, you're still a God worth loving and worshiping because you're a God of love, and ultimately I'll have you forever. But somehow, the source is going to see you through, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. God is going to give you what you truly need to have faith in him and be saved for eternity. If you'd like to have that sparrow faith and have your shepherd take care of you, supplying your needs, please stand. And let's sing this closing song together.